was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave.
Welcome back, everybody, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I do have some breaking news before we get back to speaking with Roger. We did find out why Tom is being listed as released. He was changed to a different county. He has been moved to Lane County. The name of the Lane County Sheriff is Byron Trapp, T-R-A-P-P. His phone number is 541-682-4150. The address for the Sheriff's Department is 125 East 8th Avenue, Eugene, Oregon, 97401. So this is why it is stating that he is released. Lori just found out that he was moved to Lane County. So what reason they're doing that? They are playing the chessboard with Tom, moving him everywhere that they possibly can. And we would like to get back with Roger. We were speaking with Roger, former prosecutor, and he was explaining to us the different avenues and the corruption that goes on in Oregon. Welcome back, Roger.
I agree. Yeah, hey, Roger, you made a really good point at the end of the last hour. Let me just chime in, because I was asking you some mighty technical questions, and you went and you did exactly what the right thing was to do, which is what the courtroom observers are all about as well, which is, you know, bottom line is, it's criminal activity what the judges and what the attorneys are doing, and we really need to stand on that ground. And and you can file the best papers in the world that can have all the right motions and all the right dots, I's crossed and the T's dotted, and you can still ultimately, activism trumps paperwork every time. You've got to have massive groups of people going together and commanding that the original standards from the Magna Carta and the Articles of Confederation and our common law precepts are adhered to in the court. And I think that's a really good point. Ultimately, don't count on your paperwork, folks. It's nice to know. I think paperwork needs to be filed, because at least you have a chance, number one, and number two, you may have recourse in the future, a lot stronger cause for recourse if you have your paperwork filed.
It isn't a legal fact. Listen to me.
Yep.
It is not a legal fact, whatever happens, until it is a matter of public record. I said,
right. Yep.
So it has to be typed up and date stamped, and you make it a matter, but you file it with the clerk, and then you go into the courtroom by special appearance. You do not turn yourself over to the jurisdiction of that judge. You're just coming in to put it on the record that I filed a complaint. I filed a motion for summary judgment. They haven't answered, and I'm entitled to judgment on the pleadings. So there's only two things that trial attorneys fight over, and that's liability and it's damages. If there's liability, the defense attorney, there's no damages. If there's damages, there's no liability. That's all that attorneys fight over. And to make something a matter, but they have to make it a matter of public record. And that's what people don't understand. And when you make that a matter, it's always, when you go into that courtroom, it's always on your, as I said, it's always on your motion. If you file something, you move to dismiss it. Or you move for summary judgment. If they file something, you file a motion to dismiss it with a supporting affidavit that lays out all of this as harsh as you possibly can be. You don't want to put anything in there false, because they strain at gnats and they swallow camels. That's what they do. The slightest little thing that you do wrong in your pleading, they'll jump all over that. But if they're taking millions of dollars, see, that's the reality.
The way I put it is, yes, it's about loopholes for them and traps for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes,
absolutely. And Roger, I just want to say this too, and I'm not asking you to get off the line. I just wanted to say, when that does happen, please give Mike your information, because I would like to be able to contact you one on one, and maybe have you back on the show as well. But I would like to also be able to contact you one-on-one and talk with you, if you don't mind.
I'm more than available. Is there someone that you want to did I give you my phone number? Do you have that?
I have your phone number. If you stay on the line, Mike, who is the individual who is the producer over RBN, he can get all your information and he can get it to me, and then I can get a hold of you, because I really do want to talk with you on an individual note. I do want to let everybody else know before we continue with this conversation, Tom's inmate number has changed again. I'm on the site. He's at the Lane County Jail. The inmate number is now 392-3405. So they have changed the inmate number again. It's 392-3405. And the only thing that it is showing is he is on a U.S. Marshal hold, is what they have listed here. The name of the sheriff is Byron Trapp. And if you go to lanecounty.org, you can pull up this information where you can get his email address and stuff like that. But Byron Trapp's phone number to contact him is 541-682-4150. We still need phone calls to go out. No longer going out to Sheriff Michael Reese, but now going to Byron Trapp. Tom needs his medication, and we need to change that number to the phone calls for the phone blast to 541-682-4150. And then it says press 5, 5, and 4 for Byron Trapp, the Lane County Sheriff. And one more time.
And slow. 5,
yes.
4, 5, 4, 1. 682-4150. That's Sheriff Trapp of Nottingham, Oregon. I'm sorry, Lane County. 541-682-4150. I just wanted to give that slow so people could go get their pencil and give that guy a call. Because you know what, Lori, we've been through this in another case. You know what it is actually called? It's called a courtesy hold. For the U.S. Marshals, that sheriff doesn't have to hold Tom one more second. He could let him go any time, and he must. He knows he can, but does he have the guts to do it? And if he'll have enough power, he gets enough public pressure.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If you look at his picture from yesterday and his picture of booking today, he's got two black eyes.
But he needs to file. What does he have on file right now?
Nothing. That's why we want your number. I have no legs on the ground.
Yeah. Well, that's what needs to be done. It needs to have a habeas petition filed. Yeah. And set that. Yeah, that needs to be filed. And you want to make sure he's in Lane County being held down
there
now?
Lane County Jail. Yes. And his new inmate number is 392-3405. And you are correct, Lori. He does have black eyes.
But call the clerk of the Lane County Circuit Court and ask for a copy of their local rules. You need a copy of their local rules so that when you file any document that you're in compliance with their local rules, because that's what they will use as a basis for dismissing anything that you file.
Yep.
And if they do dismiss it, then you name them, all of them, in a federal civil rights action, Title 42, Title 18. That's the Kennedys. I don't know how many of you are aware of what they did. But Robert Kennedy, when King was assassinated, they passed federal civil rights legislation, Title 42 and Title 18, was a direct result of the assassination of Martin Luther King, to give federal civil rights to all local citizens.
It's what they used in the famous Mississippi burning case, which was based on a real.
Same thing. Same thing. They're just running roughshod over people, because the people tolerated. See, this is what I can't. My mother couldn't stand it, little Norwegian. I can't stand it. I said, having gone to law school, learning all of the rules, having served in General William Westmoreland's Honor Guard Company, taking an oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and there's no greater domestic enemy than a corrupt judicial system, and to be paying him these enormous sums of money to be running roughshod is just outrageous. It's outrageous on their part, and it's outrageous on the part of the citizens that tolerate it. I said, right. People, that's the duty of every citizen in a free society, is to pass on to your posterity a clean environment, clean constitutional government, and no debt. If you don't, if you leave them a filthy environment, I said, include spittoons when you make your funeral arrangements, if that's your legacy. So I'm available for anyone that wants to visit and talk and if I had a group that would be as infused as you are, so that any time we go to court, there's like 30 or 40 of us. It's exhausting. I've been able to get crowds in the past, but it's exhausting to be dealing with all these people in that manner. I said, so that's the key, is that you have a support group, and that I'll counsel on making sure that the right documents are filed so that they can't dismiss your case on one phony pretense or another for not complying with some local rule. That's what they always do. And so you have to make sure that what you file is in compliance with all those local rules. And so that takes a little bit of inquiry. But every court has its own local rules. So just contacting the clerk of that court and asking for a copy of their local rules.
Absolutely. Information. Because we will definitely be in contact with you. I believe this is spade. We appreciate you very much.
Very educational. Thank you, Roger.
You betcha. And as I said, like Father said, he said, leave it better than you found it. And that's what I'm striving to do, is to leave it. At my age, 78 years old, I've seen a huge change from early on when they had me, my picture posted in my jailhouse blues. When I said years ago, I'm prepared to arrest any attorney or judge that tries to keep me, a former prosecutor, and an accused in a criminal prosecution, from speaking. I had a large group of people. They had 50 deputies hiding in and around Judge Dorothy Baker's courtroom. She said, have you read the documents? I said, these are sham proceedings, Dorothy. You make your record. I'm here as the foreman of a special grand jury to make mine. When I was on jury duty almost 20 years ago, I gave notice to the governor, everyone else, that I was going to be appearing and presiding court to declare the establishment of a special grand jury. And I appeared with 30 or 40 people in that courtroom. The judge wouldn't come out of the back room. And I said, this is the time set, and declared the establishment of a special grand jury, which is still in existence. I said, people, we are the government, the people. They are public employees. And that's
right. And I would love for you to go into more detail and teach how to do the special grand jury, because I've heard of it working. I've heard of it being done, but that's not one thing that we've really gone in depth and covered on, that how to make that happen.
Yeah. I am an authority on that. I'm not an authority on a lot, but I am an authority on process. And what having been no attorney, judge, anyone questions me when I speak when I speak like this in a courtroom. Mm-hmm. No one. They just sit totally silent.
You know how to deal with them on their own grounds, and that's what you got them.
I'm 78 years old. Some of them could be my children. I've been in that system all these years. I had judges were good friends of mine years ago, but they told me when they saw this corruption coming in the system in the early 70s, I was stunned that they could tolerate that. They could know that that's going on. It's like if they're robbing a bank, and you know that, hey, he's a judge. No, he's a bank robber. He may be sitting as a judge, but what is he doing? You judge him by their actions. What are they doing? Are they complying with their oath of office, or are they running a sideshow and covering the crooks and attacking their victims who are trying to recover what has been wrongfully taken from them? So
I kind of see it in the aspect of it is It is the, you know, way back in the day, people used to think of Al Capone as like the really bad guy in the mafia, and it's just the new mafia. That's really what it is.
Well, it's because they've been able to, you know, they have to corrupt the judicial process in order to pull that off. And here, as I said, I had judges telling me that they saw it coming in the early, when Lee Johnson, Dorothy Baker, as corrupt as can be. I had caught the thieving attorney that stole the property, did in his partner, in the court, I'm taking by the arm, I said, I'm arresting you. He said, you stay away from me. And the guards come up and protect the thief and attack the victims. This is what is going on down at the courthouse, because the judges are ordering them, because they've got the judges wired, because they have them all financially exposed. And so it's that. It's getting the people to deal with reality, what they're actually involved with, not what they would like, what they would think, what their Aunt Susie told them or Uncle John told them. No, what is the reality down there? Do you have remedy? And if you have no remedy, people, you have no rights. And it's that is fired me and needs to fire everyone.
Listen to what Roger's telling you, people. He's got the perfect, you really do have an excellent balance and blend of activism and paperwork. It takes both. You got to have both. You got to file your paperwork properly. But then if you want your paperwork to be honored and you want to hold their feet to the fire, make it really uncomfortable on the system to dishonor your proper lawful filings, then you need the activism part. That's the second part, the activism. I would, and Roger would probably agree, if you had to choose one or the other, activism usually trumps paperwork. Enough public pressure can make almost anything happen. Paperwork may not if you don't have the phone calls and the people and the courtroom observers in there with you. This is why courtroom observers are so important. You have to travel as a team. When one goes to court, all go to court. Everybody has to do it. I know it's a miserable, nasty, uncomfortable, crappy place to go, and through security, you got to do it. This is what we're delegated to do by the Lord and by our conscience under the just common law, constitutional, patriotic stuff. If you don't even believe in a creator, do it because you wouldn't want it to be done to you. Really simple law of nature. So I think you got the great blend, Roger. Good activism.
Yeah. It's but the key, you have to have the right document filed, and that's where I can help most. Getting the crowds together, that falls on your shoulders to do that, to get the activists down there. But I can, once they're there, to let them know what their function is. I said, what your function is to maintain order in the courtroom so that a public record can be made of the criminal way that you're being treated by the system. That's
right, and that's metastasized into do anything to uphold the system, to the point where in one case in Florida, we were researching the Florida State Constitution and noticed it was amended, I think in 96, to say the writ of habeas corpus cannot be suspended unless in time of insurrection or rebellion, and then they added the following sentence, or to uphold the integrity of the system. That could, as if the system has any integrity, and that could mean anything. And they just gave themselves carte blanche in the Florida state courts under the habeas corpus clause to do whatever they want to do to uphold the integrity of the system. That's pretty scary because it's completely open-ended.
It's not rocket science. It's just making, like if you're involved in a traffic accident, it's a fact, but it's not a legal fact until you type up that and file that accident report. The police arrest you for something, it's a fact, but it's not a legal fact until they indict you. They draft up the document and file it with the clerk. If someone injures you, it's a fact, but it's not a legal fact until it's a matter of public record, until it's typed up in proper form. If it's not in proper form, they will jump all over that, the defense attorneys. They will go over it with a fine-tooth comb to find any little thing that you've done wrong so that their buddy, the judge, will dismiss whatever it is that you filed. And that you have to be aware of that. If you just start lamenting the fact that, oh, they did this, and it doesn't change anything. You have to make your injury a matter of public record. And with the heat that's on it, that system now, with what's been going on out there, if you go on the Internet, all of this, people in the streets down there, that's anarchy. Why is that going on? Because no one has a remedy. And so it's that. And so I'm available, as I said, anytime you get a group together, I'm more than anxious to look at whatever you have or listen to whatever your situation is and advise you what needs to be done so that you don't get the case thrown out on some technicality.
Well, I will definitely be contacting and talking to you because I know several cases. Now, here's a question. I know of a case, and I'm not going to go into any detail about the case right now, but I know of a case where the affidavit of truth was filed in the court, the affidavit of truth sworn to be true and correct under penalty of perjury, doing the charges of what they violated all the way from their state codes to their state constitution to their canons on the violations of that to the U.S. Constitution as well as federal code. Okay? It was all laid out in the affidavit of truth. It was delivered to every one of them. They never responded. They ignored motion to dismiss under lack of personal and subject matter jurisdiction. They completely ignored it and went on anyway. They never proved that they had subject matter jurisdiction. And once it is challenged, according to the rules, they have to prove it. They can't just say, well, we have it. And they didn't even do that. So in that type of situation, what would you suggest in that type of situation where they don't, and it's court stamped, it's court filed, it's been delivered, the whole nine. What would you suggest in that type of situation?
That you make what they're doing, if they're doing that, you file another action against them, a racketeering complaint, Title 42 and Title 18. That's where that's what that act provides for, is where your constitutional rights are being violated by local actors. This was the blacks in the South when they were being abused, and that's when King came in and the civil rights marches and the Kennedys, then Robert Kennedy, they passed federal civil rights legislation. But I said, so when you go into that courtroom, everything that they have done that's wrong, you've made it a matter of public record before you go into the courtroom.
Right.
And you do
right.
it in affidavit form, so they have to deny. This is critical. They have to deny what's in your affidavit before they go to court or it is deemed admitted. That's how you slam them up against the wall, is that you file that action against them, then you move the racketeering complaint against them, then you move for summary judgment on that racketeering complaint, and then when you go into that courtroom, you have that crowd of people with you. That's the key. And
that's the game plan.
So that the facts are not disputed. The only thing that is disputed are your damages. See, that's what you can prove and win the case on the facts without ever going into the courtroom by the complaint that you file, the supporting affidavit that you prepare and file, and their failure to deny everything that's in that supporting affidavit. That's how you slam them up against them.
Well, we would definitely be talking, not just on live radio, but we will definitely be talking because I have several, you know, just like the one I was telling you about right there. There was a lot to that specific case, and everything they did was completely unlawful.
And what I would
insane.
Ask that if you get as many as, because if people trickle in one at a time, and I have to try to explain to people, it's very stressful if you have to go over and over again for the same thing. So if you can get a group together, so that I can tune in that whole group together, that's easiest for me.
Stay in tune with this show. That's what this show is all about, because it's often very difficult to get physically people in a large area. We'd love to have you speak somewhere, but stay in touch with this show. We give you a forum. This is a group. You got everybody's ear. I'm sure they were fascinated by everything you had to say. I know I was. I really appreciate you seeing what was going on the inside and then kind of coming over to the freedom movement, so to speak, and realizing that, you know, this system needs to be remedied and it needs to be returned. Once again, what's the name of this show? Resurrect the Republic. Very interesting that many judges that you said were seeing this corruption be initiated back in as early as the 70s, and they could see this coming a long way away. And once again, kudos to your activism. Excellent activism. You've really taken a beating, so to speak, for this for what you stand for, and your knowledge is invaluable. So I hope you will stay in touch with this show and with us.
Well, I will. I said I'm available to anyone. It's that is the sweetest sound in the world. Is what you what I'm hearing you folks say when you're talking about the problem. Everything else, yeah. Everything else in our society is secondary to me mm-hmm. until you have a clean constitutional government. That is mm-hmm. the moral duty of every citizen that is fortunate enough to be born in a free society. That's what
Amen.
Our founding fathers, Jefferson, Lincoln, all of them. That's the whole idea of this country. It's the equality.
Even the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we want, the Spirit of the Lord, truth and justice. We want order, we want truth, and we want justice in our mm-hmm. court system. And that's the legacy. When I check out, I don't know how many, my mother made it almost to 100, my father to 94, so I probably have 15 or 20 years left. But I said, he said, leave it better than you found it, son. And I was born in privilege, having the parents that I had, and able to go to law school as a Portland City fireman, and I'm a historian by passion, and to be able to understand all this, and to see the level of corruption that's tolerated in the system, and that we're paying the salaries of these crooked, thieving bureaucrats and attorneys that are destroying innocent people's lives because they're sucking all the money out of it themselves. So, okay,
yes,
well, listen, thanks for having me on.
If you could just hold on 1 second, Roger, because we have a caller, and I don't know if he maybe want to ask you a question. Fred from Iowa, how are you doing today?
Real well. I'm having a very wonderful evening with Roger there.
Isn't he wonderful, Fred?
Yes, I'm going to make comments on that. Roger, I'm 79. I'm a little bit slow and all that, not the brightest tack in the drawer. Lori, listen,
yes.
I know you're going to be in contact, but let's be blessed with his part of the team and also us being part of his team. Now, he covered a lot of things, you know, public record, he's a sporty on process, courtroom observers, and he can't teach one individually. Okay, this is very important. Hell, I drive from Iowa to California to be an observer. Fact or legal fact. Remedy. Affidavit before you go into court. Now, I sure as hell do not have a legal mind or a real sharp mind, but we have a watershed moment here with Roger, I don't know if that's his last name or first name, but I would like to find out his website if he has one. Now, one other thing, Lori, and I'm going to call you Lori A and the other Lori, if you don't mind.
That's
Lori
fine,
A,
sweetheart.
I know
yes.
you're very intelligent and your mind just goes a mile a minute. And
yes.
I know Tom and his mind goes a mile a minute. But Lori, when you give those numbers out, do it slowly. Title, name, the number, then address if necessary. And I know that it'll be difficult for you to slow down. If we don't get them numbers,
I'll help her do that.
I will consciously and purposely slow it down just for you, Fred. I promise. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please, everybody, continue to hold on.
Publicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Father of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of years.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. And we have been having an amazing discussion tonight with Roger White. We also have Fred on the line, who is one of our favorite listeners. However, we love all our listeners. So, Fred, I am doing this for you. The Lane County Sheriff is the one that needs to be contacted to ask why Tom Lacovara is not getting his medication. And this is the new number in which we need to call for the phone blasting. The sheriff's name is Byron Trapp. And his phone number is 541-682-4150. It then says press 5, and then 4. And I'm assuming that is to get the Sheriff Byron Trapp. The address for the Sheriff's Department is 125 East 8th Avenue, Eugene, Oregon, 97401. We also need to let you know they have changed Tom's inmate number. And Tom's inmate number, I am working on pulling that out. And
Lori, while you pull that inmate number, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, that's great, because it popped down, so that gives me time to pull it up. Go ahead.
This is one of the reasons why I made the comment that we held back a lot. I'm looking at a site that he gave me, and just to contact him, it looks like we have to put money on a family account and an inmate account, minimum $10 each, maximum $100 each. If you think he's going to stay there tomorrow, I can guarantee you they're probably going to move him again. Mm-hmm. We had 1 minute just a few minutes ago. I know Lori hasn't told you yet, but I did just speak to him. He is okay. He giggled a bit when I said they beat you up, didn't they? And he giggled, so I do not know if they did or did not. He had enough time to get me information on how to contact him, and I'm checking into it right now and making the decision whether I put $20 more on this or wait till tomorrow to see if he stays in that facility.
Right. And I just wanted to say I do have the new inmate number is 392-3405. So when you call in to the Sheriff's Department, make sure you have his inmate number 392-3405. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, was there anything more that you wanted to get from me? Is there anything more you want to share with
want me to, other than definitely I do not, Eric May, Lori May, however,
good.
Once you get ready to get off the line, please give Mike your information. I definitely want to be able to contact you. I believe there is a lot more that I can learn. A lot of the stuff that you said I already knew, and then a lot of stuff I don't, and I'm always willing to learn. And in any
that's
way,
the key. I said you have to file the right documents. They have to be in the right. Yeah. That's the game. That's how they are able to control the system. Is the keeping the people ignorant about the process, and so that you have to go to a bar attorney to represent you because you don't know how to file the documents yourself. And when you do that, you turn yourself over to a member of the Oregon State Bar who pays the insurance and the other attorneys that they're suing. So it's all about them pocketing the money in their pockets and shafting the innocent citizens. That's what is so outrageous.
Right. Now,
I'm available. If you have my number, you can call me. It's getting. I'm almost as old as your. I'm 70. I'll be 79 in June. I don't know how your other guest when his birthday is, but I'm about ready for bedtime. If there's not any more questions that you need,
I have one more question for you.
But Roger, just make sure you don't hang up because the guy on the board's going to get your number for us. And thank you.
Right.
Okay.
And I do have one more question for you. And because I've been told and everything I've researched, this is accurate, but I want to ask you because you're a former prosecutor, so you would know this. Is it true that in a quote-unquote court of law, if it is not on paper, if it is not filed, it doesn't exist in a court of law according to the way that they do things?
That is true.
Okay.
Nothing is a legal fact. Nothing is a legal fact until it's a matter of public record, and if you don't file anything, there's no way that you can recover unless you file the right documents. You're asking, you're filing the documents, and you're asking for remedy. And the other side is going to be picking apart everything in what you have filed to try to get it dismissed. So you have to cross all your T's, make every that you're in complete compliance with the local rules of covering those pleadings, and then show up with a crowd of people.
And, I got one quick question for you before you run. It says in, I was just opened up this advanced legal analysis writing and research book, and it says a common practice is to prepare a proposed order and attach it to the motion. The proposed order should parallel the motion by setting out what information needs to be protected and how it will be protected. Do they do that like the lobbyists do, hand a proposed order to the judge that the judge can just fashion his order?
If they do that, it's futile until you have judgment. What is critical is that you have, because we're all victims of this corrupt process, and that's what people don't understand is how corrupt it is. And when you make a proper record of that, typing it up in the proper form, date stamping and filing with the clerk, the other side has to, and then moving for summary judgment, the other side has to deny what's in that affidavit, and that they cannot do. And then when you show up at the court to have the crowd of people, and the crowd intimidates the guards that have been compromised so that they stand back and don't interfere while you're making a public record of what's happened to you. That's the key. If you don't do that, they'll run you out of court. And what happens is
the courtroom observers buy you time, so to speak, so you can make your statement, get it on record, and educate the whole system along the way.
Yes, but if you don't do that, if you don't do something that is required, they will dismiss it. And all of the supporters that you were able to talk into coming down there to give support, they will get on you. What do you mean? You have me come down here and they dismiss it? You don't want that. You want to keep your supporters' support. And to do that, you have to make sure you're not wasting their time by filing something that is defective. Because if it's defective in any way, the other side is going to point that out, and the judge will grant whatever they ask for.
Absolutely. Excellent. And I want to
thank you so much, Roger.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. And make sure, please, give Mike your information so that I can definitely get a hold of you.
Okay.
Because I really have enjoyed, and I'm sure that our listeners have thoroughly enjoyed you coming on here as well, and we just really appreciate that. And we appreciate...
What's your name again? So I have a name and a number that I can get in touch with.
I'm Lori Anderson, and I'm very easy to find on the Internet. I'm a contributor for FreedomOutpost.com as well as host for the show.
What's your telephone number, Lori? Do you have a number?
I don't have a public number. I will have Mike give you my number. It is a confidential number.
Yeah, Mike, if you hold on the line, Roger, after we let you go, then Mike on the board will give you our number and take your number down so we can be in touch. You're great, bevy of knowledge. Much appreciate you being here.
Listen, I'm available to advise anyone going to court what I just told, what has to be filed, to the proper documents that are filed before you go into that courtroom. I'm more than happy to advise anyone on how to do that. That's critical because you'll waste if it's not in proper form. They will dismiss it, and you'll anger all your supporters that you talked into coming down to support.
Right, and if people do it correctly and by the local procedure, and you team that up with the courtroom full of courtroom observers, it's almost a slam dunk. But there has to be a lot of pressure. And like Roger said, the filing has to be kind of by their own procedures because it's once again about loopholes for them.
And it forces them to comply with their own rules because you know what their rules are, and you're holding them accountable to their own rules. That's when you do that, you're like a daddy with some spoiled children that are trying to pull a fast one. Okay, well, thank you, Lori, for having me on, and you're going to give me a number after you hang up, or why don't you just call me?
Mike will either give you – Mike is allowed to give you my number. I've already let him know that. But I can also call you. I have yours.
Okay. Well, feel free to call me anytime. As I said, I'm 78 years old, so I operate from between 9 in the morning and 9 at night, basically. Between 9 at night and 9 the next day, I'm usually pounding my ear. Okay, well, not so nice visiting with all of you, and let's leave it better. Like my father said to me, he said, leave it better than you found it, son. And that's what I'm trying to do.
And thank you so much for calling in and joining us this evening. And we look forward to having you back, and I look forward to having a personal phone call with you as well. And I just want to say thank you for all the many, many years that you've been doing this, and God bless you for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, all of you, and thanks so much for having me on, and call me when you need to visit.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Roger.
Okay. Take care. Bye now.
You too. Wow. Wasn't he a wonderful and amazing caller?
That was a caller, and he was better than most guests that they have on the other shows. So
very
quality.
One of the things that really made me smile, like I explained to him, he was a prosecutor. You know, he was in all of this, and he confirmed everything that you and I and Tom and Lori and so much of our research has panned out, and just the same exact stuff we've been saying this entire time, and he just kind of confirmed that. That's why I wanted people to know. I've never met Roger. I've never heard Roger. He was not one of these things like the antique mainstream media does and tries to pretend like you have a caller call in and it's not really a caller, it's a setup. No, he was actually a caller that we had no idea was calling in, have never met him, and he has confirmed once again everything we have been reporting to you is the truth. And I'm tickled pink about that. What about you, Eric?
Well, that was fantastic, and you know, this audience is full of people like Roger who are brilliant in the law and activism and getting it done as a group, as a cohesive unit, which is what the Courtroom Observers is all about. You can't go alone, folks. Don't ever let somebody you know that's going to court go with them. It's essential, because with the combination of public pressure and proper filings, you have a really good chance, a better chance than any else. If you procedurally file correctly according to the local court rules, and then you bring that group of people with you, so you know it's going to be a lot tougher for them to ignore your paperwork in that case. And then if they can't deny the paperwork on a minor procedural thing, then they're stuck. And even if you get found against by the court, you have a better chance in the appeals court than you do at the lower levels. I've found, Lori, and I think you'll agree with that.
True, but I've also seen, and you know what case I'm talking about, we're not going to say what case, but we've also seen to where when the local court and the higher court was involved, the lower court would move in access of jurisdiction and get them out of the higher court's jurisdiction because they couldn't win in the paperwork and the facts.
We didn't have enough public pressure at the time.
Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely not. And that's one of the key elements I want to push there, because in that specific case we're discussing, in that specific case, usually there was only one, maybe two people that would be in the court, and the rest were, of course, the corrupt people that were in the court. And of course, that is why they got by with what they got by with. But that's okay, because I'm going to be talking to Roger about that case.
We'll be talking about that case when the time is right, at the proper point in time, when the pressure needs to be placed. And then the other end of that is I got to give kudos out to the people of Western New York for the Shane Bennett arraignment in the Phelps Town Court, when he got all his guns seized for doing nothing but sleeping in his house, once again with the guns nearby, wasn't in possession of anything, didn't do any criminal act, just like Tom's case. They had 70 courtroom observers there, and the judge couldn't believe it. He said, where did everybody go? And everybody said, well, they were all with Shane. The place was overflowing. Every seat in the courtroom was full. The lobby was packed. People were pouring out the door. And it made a difference because he didn't do anything to reinstate any bail for Shane, and Shane was allowed to walk until he got to county court under Craig Duran, the little higher court. When as you move up in the chain, the corruption gets thick. And Shane was, you know, they increased his bail, and you know, it just did all kinds of things to make it impossible, you know, for him to operate. Once again, expensive phone calls from jail, denial of medication in Tom's case.
Black eyes, too. I'm looking at the picture. Well. Black eyes, too. He does have black eyes. Lori's correct on that. And I want to say something.
That damages.
This is what we need is more individuals that are like Roger, that have been in the system, that know the corruption and are willing to stand up and speak out against it and fight it. Be part of the people. Be part of the movement. Be part of the real government, which is we the people, and not these fictitious people sitting in there trying to tell you that they are the government. They are our employees. They always have been. And they are the ones who are limited in what they can do because of the Bill of Limitations, also known as the Bill of Rights. That is what they are not allowed to cross. That is the oath that they took. And I just want people to understand that. And just remember, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Let's not forget that. It is we the people. And obviously, we are not going to cover the California exit tonight, which is absolutely fine, but we will try to cover that tomorrow night. This is two nights in a row, I've promised. But you know what? I believe that God has had his hand in both nights. He wanted the show to go in a different way. And we're going to follow what God's will is, because then we know we're doing what we need to do.
And Lori?
Yes.
On Tom's eyes, that's part of his Lyme disease. When I did talk to him, he did giggle a bit.
Okay.
Obviously, he was not beaten. Because of the way he giggled when I said, they beat you, didn't they? He giggled and said, I'm okay. So it wasn't a confirmation, but his eyes will get like that with Lyme disease. And in fairness and honesty, I believe fully that he is okay, and that's from his Lyme disease acting up.
Okay, so it could be either or. But we,
yes.
So we will say this. We know for a fact he has black eyes. We do not know for any reason or assumption, because we try not to assume on anything.
Right.
It very well likely could be from his Lyme disease, from him not receiving his medications, and that's what it could be from.
Yes.
We're not going to say that he was harmed or beat up. We don't know. Now, if we find out different, we will be sure to let you know. But
one of the questions worthy of asking, when we call those numbers, we should be asking that one of the questions. What was the cause of the dark, noticeably dark circles around Tom's eyes? Was he beaten? Was there an incident report? Has he been to the infirmary? Mm-hmm. Call the chaplain or the jail. You usually get a better chance of a straight answer from the chaplain. They like to at least try to act godly. In some cases, we've had good results getting the word through from a chaplain or getting information from them. I'm going to give the number once more, Lori, before we go for the night. where Tom is, right? Yeah, where Tom is, apparently now he's on this journey of hopscotch across the country. But if people can tomorrow call the facility in Lane County, that's L-A, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, Lane County, and the sheriff is Sheriff Trapp, T-R-A-P-P, Sheriff Trapp. His number is 541-682-4150. That's 541-682-4150. And I want to know, was Tom injured? Why is he being denied his Lyme disease medication? And why is he being held on a courtesy hold? It's not very courteous to hold somebody unlawfully in your jail, Sheriff Trapp. He's trapping Tom, and he needs to let him go immediately. Also, let's not forget to call the Archbishop and the Judicial Vicar and the Vicar General, the Three Musketeers over at the Vatican Outpost, and they're the real court managers. Trust me on that. I can prove my case again later. Lori, give the number for the Vicar and the Archbishop Sample and Vicar Judicial Vicar Brennan. What is their number? It's 503-something, Lori.
503-234-5334. Now, that number covers Vicar General Peter Smith. It covers also the Alexander King Sample, the Archdiocese of Portland. And it also covers the Judicial Vicar, Pat Brennan. They also have a fax number, which is 503-234-2545. And I also have an email address now for the Sheriff of Lane County. If you would like to email the Sheriff of Lane County, it is literally Sheriff of Lane County at co.lane.or.us. And let's not forget, Tom's new inmate number is 392-3405. And we need to find out why he has the what appears in the photo as black eyes. Is this because of an incident? If it is, we want an incident report. If it is not, is it due to his Lyme disease? And if it is, then why isn't he receiving his medication, which would and Lori, you can answer this or not, but if he was receiving his medication and this was going on because of his Lyme disease, would that help to take that away?
Absolutely. His diet, which he's getting very poor food, and his medications would keep that from happening.
Okay, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We are going to try our best to cover the California exit movement that is going on tomorrow. Please join us. Thank you so much, Eric and Lori and Roger White and Fred and all of the ones that did call in. We appreciate you so much. As always, watch your backs, check your facts. God bless you and have a wonderful night.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.